Welcome to the Shitposter.club Anime Review Podcast. I am Dad, your host. With me is Cool Boy Mew.
Hey, hey.
Full Metal is absent. He's on siesta. But we still have a lot of stuff to cover. Mew, you made this gigantic list of shit of all these video game commercials.
Yeah. But basically, the last 2 weeks, we had the not E3. It was E3, but not really. It was mostly called the Summer Game Fest. It's not the first year it's been going on. It tried this like 2 or 3 years ago. But earlier it was a mess because it was literally like 4 fucking months of scattered bullshit conferences. And it's like, that's completely missing the point of E3. But now that E3 is gone, like completely gone,
press S to spit on its grave.
Yeah, it fucking sucked. It needed to be gone. We now have this, and it's more under about a week, which is reasonable.
Yeah.
However, it fucking sucked.
And yeah, I didn't watch any of this. It did not interest me.
Well. Sorry, my throat's weird right now. I really should not be eating cereal before the recording, but that's my fault.
Shouldn't be eating hot sauce coated razor blades before recording the show.
So yeah, we had the usual conferences, but god darn, this might be actually the worst E3 ever.
Really?
I know people say this every year, but god darn, what was everything let down?
So I can see you took quite a few notes. Lots of angry comments about the stupid shit you were looking at.
Oh, God.
Did you at least have fun with the shit poster chant, making fun of everything?
Oh, of course. That's the best part of E3. However, some of them were pretty dead because they were at like fucking 1 p.m. On the other hand, that means that I watched this while I was at work. While I was working, so I lost no time at all. So, you know.
Yeah, I was sleeping while it was going on. Otherwise, I would have joined you.
But yeah, so let's start. I already talked about it, but let's go through the Sony state of play again. So basically, Sony did not show up to E3 for a couple of years now. And now they show up with a state of play, and it's not very good. Like, how long ago was the PS5 released? I think it's going through its third year or something. Yeah, it's on November we will be starting the third year. So it's really not good for them. My God, they have nothing. So I'm going to go through the interesting part. I did not note absolutely everything in this conference. Either something interesting, noteworthy, something I just need to talk about. So obviously, you're not going to go through these conferences. Just don't. So anyways, starting with Sony State of Play, their Spider-Man game is coming to PC.
Yeah, I remember that being one of the few PS4 exclusives that people gave a shit about.
Yeah, and then they had some kind of full game DLC or whatever the fuck. All of it is going to PC. And they lost another exclusive. If you Google Wikipedia list of exclusive PS5 game, it is fucking pathetic, and they just lost another.
Yes, we just laughed at it the previous episode.
It is absolutely
fucking embarrassing.
Like, there's no reason to get a PS5. But anyways, let's continue.
Yeah, what obese negroid trannies in wheelchairs are we going to look at now?
Surprisingly, none of that. Actually, surprisingly, there was very little virtue signaling in most of the conferences.
Yeah?
If at all. and none from Sony either. I was surprised too, considering that we're fucking June. But yeah.
Yeah, that's surprising. Maybe they realize the public is tired of that shit.
Maybe, but yeah. Anyways, one of the few interesting games that the State of Play shown, and that I instantly wishlisted on Steam instead, is Stray. I'm not exactly sure what the gameplay is gonna be. It looks like some kind of weird 3D world, and you're actually playing as a cat.
Yeah, and it's not even a fantasy cartoon cat either. It's a realistic looking cat.
Yeah, the viewer and I, when we're watching it, we found it one of the few interesting game in the conference. Like, I don't know, maybe I'll play this. However, as with every E3, either the trailer and the developer commentary goes on for too fucking long, or they don't go on for long enough. This was one of them that didn't go on long enough.
So I wonder if this is going to be a walking simulator, or is there a real game here?
No idea.
Yeah, I can't tell from this 1 minute of footage.
Guess we'll find out later.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on it.
After this, they announced a Last of Us 1 remake.
Another
Buckingham.
One?
Yeah, another one. The other one was a remaster. This is a true remake. And just like the fucking Spider-Man to PS5, it's not impressive. It looks like they're screwing up the faces again. And I don't understand why they're doing this.
You know, in 2004, Half-Life 2 had pretty good realistic faces that would move along with the... like the characters' words and emotions. It's just technology in terms of 3D faces hasn't improved that much.
No. And...
not that you need it, especially in video games. I'm just saying.
I'm just keeping my Last of Us shitting on for another conference. So let's just move on for the moment.
It's never a wrong time to shit on The Last of Us.
So, all right, so they announced a Resident Evil 4 remake, which is like, fucking really, Capcom? How many times has that game been released?
Very, very many. But
they just released a VR version like not even 6 months ago.
It feels like a modern game still. So it doesn't need a remake as much as the first three games did.
Yeah, so this is kind of weird. Like,
yeah, I saw a video of it. It looked very close to the original.
They're really milking this. They also announced a VR mode for PlayStation VR 2 for Resident Evil 8 Village.
Yeah, that one I have not played.
It actually looks cool. Like, I'm not into AAA game usually. But that one, you know, I feel like there was something.
Well, it is like Capcom to release endless sequels and remakes and slight updates released at full price.
Oh,
they've been doing that for 30 years.
The full Capcom oddness is coming much later. We'll save this for later.
Okay. What's this? The next one, the Callisto Protocol.
Yeah, it's from the Dead Space team. It's basically not Dead Space. I don't care about the series, so I have nothing to say about it. But
When I was in college, I had a roommate who was playing, I think, the first Dead Space game, and he was getting really into it, and I was pretending to be scared by it. I was like shaking his shoulder and saying, "Oh, what's gonna happen?" He was laughing so hard an alien killed him.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, it's not really scary, but it's more like a solid FPS. I saw a Trio Dog play a bit of it, I think.
Yeah, I haven't played it. That memory just came to me right now.
All right. So next there's Eternites. An anime game with an interesting looking battle system. Unfortunately, on a first glance, the battle system seemed like it was actually real-time combat, but no, it's a JRPG.
Oh, I was going to say this looks like a generic action RPG, but it's turn-based?
Yeah.
So you select something from the menu to watch your character do a spinning sword slash or some shit.
Hey, I love my JRPGs, so I wish listed this on Steam.
I'll wait to see if there's any titty monsters.
But it looks kind of cool, and unfortunately, I know that we talk usually about Japanese games, and we're making an exception because, you know, this is not E3, but there's practically no Japanese game this E3.
Yeah, which makes it another miracle. There's very little pause.
Yeah.
Too bad the games themselves don't look very interesting so far.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying the Sony State of Play was a fucking disaster if that's all they have. And the most interesting they have, I have wishlisted on Steam. So.
Yeah, where's the Ridge Racer? Where's the giant enemy crab?
Not this year, apparently. But anyways,
no
at
fun
the end,
allowed.
At the end, they've shown FF16, which is basically not really fucking turn-based. It seemed like since FF13, they're basically giving up on fucking turn-based combat, and this is pissing me off.
Well, ever since 12. Well, 11. Since 11 was actually an MMO. And 12,
Jesus, yeah.
12 and 13 were like offline MMOs.
Yeah, but it's basically going farther and farther and farther from the fucking a classic turn-based RPG, and I don't fucking like this.
Did they decide that Final Fantasy VII Remake was going to be their template for all the games they're going to make from now on?
Probably.
Yeah, I lost interest in Final Fantasy after 10. So, like, 2 fucking decades. So, screw that. Let's keep going.
All right. So, that's it for the State of Play. And I'll say it again. Sony is fucking dead.
Good fucking riddance, man.
Microsoft is buying all the AAA. And Sony has completely banked on AAA this again. They've told us. And they've forsaken the Japanese market to the level where, for the first time in like 20 or 15 years, a single company has completely and several times dominated the top 20 charts like for months and months. And Nintendo is completely wrecking them. So Sony is absolutely fucking sinking right now.
Good. You know, the PS1 and PS2 were my favorite consoles of their generations, but I have no loyalty to any companies. Sony just sucks ass right now.
Yeah, and man, they're gonna go third party sooner rather than later, I suppose.
No, the Sega treatment.
Probably. But anyways, moving on to the next conference, the Summer Game Fest. So this is the Doritos Pope own conference. It sucked. And he was being cringy, but not the you know, E3 cringe reel kind of cringy. So everything was just kind of boring. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at your notes here, and you are not impressed.
Not at all. So it started with 3 fucking Dead Space clones in a row. There was the Callisto Protocol and that, and there was 2 others. Like 3 fucking Dead Space clones in a row. The fuck?
Yeah, why now? Why is there sudden interest in this style of game?
No idea. Oh. But they've also shown a Flashback 2.
So, is that a sequel to the old SNES Genesis game?
Apparently.
Okay. I'm interested.
They've also shown One Piece Odyssey, which is a JRPG, but that's about it. They've shown nothing. Considering it's One Piece, it could be quality, but it could be your usual Bandai Namco crap too. So, I don't know. It looked quality, but we've seen like nothing.
Sometime soon, I gotta read the One Piece manga because supposedly it's entering its final arc, which means it might end in 5 years.
yeah, I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, sometime soon, though, I need to start reading it. We can cover it on this podcast.
Sure.
All right, next on your list, more Last of Us.
Yeah, Last of Us Part 1 remake again. Lmao, I've written this was fucking stupid. Okay, so basically, Last of Us 2 was supposed to be a success, but I remember seeing a lot of pictures of people working in stores, and if they've never seen like so much fucking return copies. They have never seen so much return copies. What I think is that The Last of Us is going to be fucking dead, and they may fall flat on their face with this release.
Good. I hate Sony, and Druckmann is such an unlikable person.
God, this is exactly the thing. Immediately after, I don't know if it was in this one or in the next conference, but I'll just put it together. He went and basically masturbated on stage for 10 minutes, and there's also a Last of Us TV series announced.
Oh, so if we post memes from it on shitposter.club, is Sony gonna shut us down again?
Yes, this actually happened.
Yeah, I'm
So
not joking. That actually happened.
we got a DMCA from Sony because of screen caps of the leak at some point, and it was like a modified screen cap.
Yeah, someone modified to turn that tranny character into Senator Armstrong. Anyway, fuck Sony. Let's move on.
All right, so that was the Summer Game Fest. What a fucking disaster. Next, we got Netflix Geek Week 2022. That sucked. They announced a bunch of TV show. D Dragon Age Absolution, eh.
The first Dragon Age game was okay, but just each game after that got worse and worse, and the writing was spectacularly bad in Inquisition. Like, that's the game that had cat people telling you to check your privilege and shit.
Literally, like I've heard it was bad, but
Yeah,
geez.
it's fucking bad.
All
So
right.
I'm not looking forward to that TV show. But
Yeah.
I'll laugh at particularly bad scenes if people post them.
There's a Tekken Bloodline. Does anyone still care about Tekken? I feel like see
Like people in the Philippines like it, and that's about it.
I feel like it's that fighting game series to just keep releasing, and nobody ever fucking talks about that game.
It's more popular in Asian countries than Western ones, but yeah, Tekken games, well, they're guaranteed money makers, but they're not necessarily gigantic hits. Like when Tekken 3 came out in like 98, that was electrifying to the fighting game community, but just the Tekken games have not improved it very much since then.
Yeah, that's most fighting games. On the other hand, however, I think I played a Tekken years ago, and it actually works nicely as a party game.
Yeah, if you want to screw around and button mash and watch clowns juggle each other, then it's all right. Oh, they made a live action Tekken movie like 10 years ago. I have not seen it, but it looked like crap.
I'm not surprised. All right,
So what I'm
so.
saying is I don't care about this Tekken TV series.
Yeah, me neither. So next, there's the Cuphead show. We already knew about it, but this one looks it doesn't look bad. I hope it's going to be good.
Does it have hand-drawn animation like the game did?
Probably not. Are you
No,
insane?
that was the main
It's not
appeal.
happening.
I know
It just.
it takes longer, it costs money when you're not using CG, but the game looks so freaking good.
Yeah, I know that the game looks amazing, and the DLC is finally going to release soon. So,
Yeah, like 4 years later.
yeah, it took them so fucking long. But anyways,
Maybe because of the animation.
I don't know. But moving on, so Netflix announced fucking mobile game with your sub. So some of them looks like for fucking grandmas, for your aunt or something. Some others doesn't look bad, but mobile gaming is such a sad state of affair that if developers want to actually develop games that aren't gacha or DLC fest, because they did announce that none of these are going to have any monetization. So if developers actually wants to fucking develop something, because the App Store is such a fucking disaster and people are not willing, people are willing to purchase a fucking Starbucks coffee. How expensive are these?
Oh, with inflation from the past year, Starbucks coffees are like $8.
Jesus, they're willing to purchase this, but they're not willing to purchase a mobile game at like 99 cents. So we have the shit show that we have. And now devs have to go like make games for subscription service, because or else nobody's going to make these games. So to be honest, I mean, it's not that I'm going to play any of these, but I don't feel like this is a terrible idea at the same time.
No, mobile games are still popular, so I guess they can make some money off of them.
Probably.
It's just not a medium for games that interest me, because I don't like rubbing my fingers across a flat plastic screen, you know?
Yeah, but
it only works for certain types of games.
Yeah, they announced a few games that actually looks, you know, made for mobile and doesn't look too terrible as, you know, Little Time Waster. There's one particular that I'm pointing out. It's a Poinpy, and it's by the Downfall creator. Do you know Downfall?
Downfall, the Hitler movie?
No. The game.
No, I don't. Let me look it up.
No, sorry, it's Downwell. I'm retarded. Yeah,
Downwell, I've played that.
Yeah, I'm retarded, sorry.
Yeah, but that's a decent casual game.
Yeah.
Well, I call it casual, but it gets hard after a couple stages.
Yeah, and it's by the same creator, I believe. So it's going to be decent, I suppose.
Might be.
So after this, they've shown Sonic Prime. Another disappointment, because they've shown nothing of the show, and it has fucking Big the Cat. That's all we know about it.
I'm constantly surprised and disappointed by Sonic's continuing popularity for decade after decade.
Hey.
And it's almost all shit.
Sonic Boom was actually amazing. Sonic Boom, the cartoon.
Yeah, I did have an episode making fun of Chris Chan.
No, but like, I mean, all of the episodes are actually pretty good. Like the humor is belligerent without going into fucking Marvel writing. Like, it's actually good.
Yeah. Does this have the same writers or different ones? Do you know?
I have no idea. I have no idea what Sonic Prime is. And I suppose we'll see soon.
All right. And another Castlevania.
Yeah, starring Richard, but since the last Castlevania was such a fucking disaster, who cares about this?
I've only seen the first season, but that was like 6 episodes.
Yeah, me too. The first season was good, but apparently, according to absolutely everyone, it starts sucking a bit in season 2, and it sucked a lot in season 3. So, yeah.
Maybe this one won't have Garth Ennis writing for it.
I don't.
It's Edgemaster comic book guy who wrote the first few seasons.
Yeah, I don't think so, because it looks exactly the same, so it's probably by the same people. So,
wait,
yeah.
Not Garth Ennis, it's Warren Ellis. I always get those two confused.
I have no idea, but probably.
Hey, I might be a weeb, but I read American comics sometimes.
All right. So that's it for Netflix Geek Week. It sucked. And there was also the Doritos Pope on it, and it was cringe.
Does he still have that soulless look in his eyes?
Yes.
Poor bastard.
So next, there was the Epic Games Store Summer Showcase. So I was like, oh, yeah, we'll get to see which games you can play for a whole year. And the notes I've written, Rolf, Lemao, this ad fucking nothing, fuck this.
And Goat Simulator 3.
Yeah, and yes, not 2. The Oublette was shown, which I'll remember, that was the dev where the game told the user base, we've donated money to the fucking project to fuck off, more or less. Fuck this shit. And I'm not sure, did they get an exclusivity deal for the new Saints Row? Who gives a shit? It looks terrible.
One good thing about Epic Games is that when they pay companies to have their game exclusive for a certain number of years, they can use that as a beta testing. That's what the game Hades did. It was exclusive on Epic Games for a year. Mm-hmm. That let them work out all the bugs. Then when the game was complete, they released it on Steam.
Very nice. Very nice. Thanks for beta testing.
Yeah, thanks for the free
EGS user.
Thanks for the free money, Tim.
But yeah, I think the Epic Games Store is not doing great. Fortnite it dies, I think this is over for the store. They had nothing. I think this forced Gabe to put his foot down, and Tim is getting jack shit.
You know, when I was a kid, I would buy games directly from Tim Sweeney because he was selling them out of his garage on floppy disks in the early days of Epic Games.
Did you send those fucking registration card?
Yeah. Yeah, I got like ZZT and Jill of the Jungle.
Very nice. Jungle is free, by the way, on GOG.
Yeah. Now he's a billionaire, and I have an anime podcast.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to your next one.
All right, there was the Tribeca Game Showcase. I have no idea who the fuck they are. Seems like mostly some games that's art shit. Some were SGW, some not. I think the only really notable game was Thirsty Suitors. It almost seems interesting, but it's guaranteed that it's going to be fucked by its subject matter being annoying. Like, it seems to be about like some Indian girl, and the devs seem to be like really into like the identity shit. So I don't know, but it's kind of frustrating.
The art style's hideous.
It's kind of frustrating at the same time because the game seems almost interesting, but yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
And I want to see attractive cartoon people. It's one thing Japan can do right. Screw it. Let's move on. Future games show.
Yeah, if you have to watch one conference, it's this one. This one. Okay.
There's actual good games in this, or at least interesting looking.
Everything about it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, not only that, but the presentation, the presenters were 2VA from The Witcher 3, and they were not cringe. They cracked some obvious joke, but otherwise it was not cringe.
That's surprising, given the quality of other material we're dealing with.
But yeah, that was literally the best conference. If you're going to watch one, watch this.
All right, so, I'll definitely put that in the show notes.
So, all right, so starting with my notes, a game called Outpost. Basically, it looks like some kind of, you remember the game Sanctum?
I don't.
It's an indie game where it's basically all FPS, all tower defense.
Yeah.
This is kind of the same. It seems like you can actually build some kind of massive fucking tower, actual defense, some kind of.
Yeah, I'm looking at the video now.
Mm-hmm.
That usually this type of game has the defense as in a bonus mode, like on top of the regular campaign, but it looks like they're going to focus the whole game on this, and there's a lot of building options. It's like part real-time strategy, part first-person shooter. That's a cool combination.
Yeah, it seems really, really cool. Sanctum was fun, and this seems like a slightly better Sanctum.
I played a game called Guns of Icarus. It was like a first-person piloting a big airship game, and each member of your party was a different online player who was managing a different aspect of their airship and fighting another team in the air. So just reminded me of that.
But yeah, this looks really, really fucking cool. All
right, next on the list, Brewmaster.
Okay, I put this just because it was fucking weird. It's you're basically brewing beer.
Realistic beer making simulator.
Yes, and I don't see the point. I had to put it. It's just kind of ridiculous.
Maybe it's practice so people can make it at home.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think you need a license for that in most countries.
There doesn't even seem to be some meta gameplay other than apparently you can rearrange furniture in the house. And I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. It's just so weird.
It's a long ways from root beer tapper.
All right. So next is Sunday Gold. The trailer was really, really, really short. This gave me almost the impression of that Penny Arcade game. It's called On the Rain Slick, Precipice of Darkness. It gave me impression of this, but like with a bigger budget and actually serious.
Yeah, that Penny Arcade game, I played the demo of it a long time ago. It felt like the gameplay from Super Mario RPG with the timed hits.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't get very far into it.
Oh, the company died. I think they're still selling it, and I highly recommend it. Both games are really fucking good. But otherwise, Sunday Gold, it seems like a serious version of this, maybe. It seems like a narrative RPG where you actually get some choices. I actually watched a developer demo before this. And then there's also some sort of GRPG battle where you can choose your weapon. It tells you the damage it does, just like in Fire Emblem. And then it tells you like the percentage chances of it. And man, I don't know. This looks actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah, the art style reminds me a lot of Disco Elysium.
It's probably inspired by that a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sunday Gold is one I've actually somewhat looking toward.
Yeah, this does look decent.
All right, so moving on to The Last Fate. This looks like a Metroidvania. Instead of being your usual pixel art, this looks like a highly detailed pixel art. This is beyond like even like PlayStation 1. Pixel art graphics, and it looks amazingly animated.
Yeah, it reminds me of Blasphemous.
Yeah, a bit, and it looks really fucking edgy.
Yeah, lots of blood and guts and skulls and shit. This is right up my alley. I'm gonna
and just the character beating up someone to blood and stuff like this. This is ridiculous. And it seems awesome. It seems really awesome.
Yeah, this looks freaking cool.
All right, this one is a game that was shown last year. It's called Tinykin. It's set in a house, and your character is really small, and it's a Pikmin clone.
Yeah, I was gonna say this looks very similar to Pikmin.
This is pretty much Pikmin, I think. It looks like it plays from Pikmin. It even has like color-coded Pikmin, and they pick up items like Pikmin. But yeah, if you want more Pikmin, this looks like it, because it looks really not only looks good, but it looks like it really looks like quality.
Yeah, I never got into the Pikmin games, but I know some people adore them.
Oh, you should! Pikmin 1 is really fucking good.
Well, I tried to play it, but that was ages ago. I should give it another shot.
Yeah, you should. All right, so next, we got a very short look into Beyond Sunset, a cool-looking boomer shooter. A very short look. So let's move on. I have nothing to say about that.
When did the term boomer shooter replace first-person shooter or Doom clone?
The Doom clone is fine, but first-person shooter is not quite... because first-person shooters are like all like Call of Duty or something nowadays.
Yeah, I guess when you call it boomer shooter, it signifies that it's resembles games from the 90s.
Yeah, pretty much. It's basically the old style of shooter.
Yeah, not quite as stupid a name as Metroidvania, though.
I suppose. But it's really an important distinction because the games play very differently, and fans of COD will probably really hate boomer shooters. As far as I'm aware, boomer shooters, you're actually supposed to play them by extensively doing save and load. Like, you're not supposed to just go through them in one shot, especially harder difficulties.
I did cheat with save states the first time I went through Half-Life, but it's also because I was really poor and didn't have a mouse at the time.
No, I mean, you're as far as I'm aware, most of these games you're supposed to do this, because Half-Life, yeah. Half-Life is full of death trap.
Yeah, it is.
So it plays like a boomer shooter. You're supposed to go into encounter. Did the encounter go wrong? Yes, reload. That's how they work. And as far as I'm aware, Half-Life 1 works exactly like this.
Yeah, that's how I played it. It's kind of like Hotline Miami.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, it's not a first-person shooter, but it's a game where you just run into a room full of enemies, shoot them up, and you're likely to die in the process, so just reload and try again.
All right, Beyond Sunset, let me get a quick full demo player. No, it's kind of... actually, it seems... some part of it reminded me of Unreal Tournament.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, maybe like a boomer shooter / Unreal Tournament. That's actually kind of cool. But all right, so I'll add this one.
I'm writing down a list of games that look even slightly interesting, so I'll add that one.
Very nice. So we have another Metroidvania looking game. This one at least the art looks pretty nice. Not much about it. Remind me maybe of Hollow Knight, but I did not play this, so I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, there's one Metroidvania. What was it? Baldur's City. Baldur's Story, Abyssal City.
The game I'm talking about is Being and Becoming.
Yeah, I'm looking at the video of it now, but it just reminds me of this Metroidvania I played a decade ago. Let me pull it up.
Baldur's Story. A decade ago? Is it that whole Baldur's Story?
So you played it?
No, I've heard of it, though. Yeah, it looks decent.
Came out in 2013.
Really? 2013? Jesus.
Yeah, I remember because I beat the game and I exchanged some emails with the developers asking if they could include cloud saving.
Very nice.
Onto Steam. They said they, at the time at least, they said they wish they could, but it's not as simple as just flipping a switch and letting it happen.
Oh, I see.
And that was annoying because, like, after beating the game, you unlock more characters.
Yeah, you didn't want to lose your save.
Yeah, so if you move to a new computer, you have to physically copy like your save file over if you're playing the Steam version.
Yeah, basically, for anyone listening, usually most save files, as far as I know that in Vista there was even a save file folder in my documents. So they're either in my document and some game folder. There may be, especially for some very old game, and the game folder itself, but most of the save files are in app data. So if you're moving to another computer, be sure to check app data. Usually you can write something like this, a percent app data percent. You enter this in a folder and then you go back and you have your two important app data folder. That's where all your program settings are.
Yeah, sometimes I just do an internet search for, like, where are the saved games for this game? usually has the answer.
But be sure to make a backup of your app data folder, because a lot of your saves are going to be there.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. After Being and Becoming, there was some freaking Moomin game. That was weird, but whatever. After this, they showed the Paul World again. You know, the weird Pokemon with gun thing?
Yeah.
And that's about it. It was the best show overall. The presentation wasn't cringe, and it shown, you know, a lot of stuff I'd actually freaking play.
Yeah, I wrote down 5 games that look interesting. I'll have to keep my eye on them.
All right, so next, there's the next big conference, the Xbox and the Bethesda Game Showcase. I mean, Microsoft also launched a new console, and considering that they bought, I don't know how many devs, they have a lot to possibly show for. And it was terrible.
Do they have a non-retarded name for their new console, at least?
No, I mean, the console's already out. Like, it's the Xbox Series X or whatever the fuck.
Oh, that shit.
I don't even know, honestly.
I think they had Series X, then Series S.
Yeah. I think they're the two current gen console.
Yeah, screw that.
But yeah.
What games do they have?
It lasted about like 1.5 hours, like an hour, 30 minutes. And it felt like, at the end, there was kind of nothing. So I don't know if it's a presentation problem, but it felt like homogenized as fuck, mostly. Even the shitload of Fendi, they showed seemingly like a nothing. So a conference was full of play it day one with Game Pass, and that can't be good for the industry. Just like the EGS, Microsoft can't keep this shit forever.
You mean the video game rental thing?
Yeah, Game Pass. Basically, it's basically Netflix for games.
Yeah, I know about it, but why do you think it's not financially viable?
Do you know why every company is doing their own Netflix?
Because Netflix made a lot of money?
Well, not just that, but you can't make shitload of money on licensing out shit. You need to have your own platform. The thing is that Game Pass, at some point, there's going to be competitors, and the same thing is going to happen.
Yeah, Netflix does seem to be dying down lately. Like, they're pouring more and more money into their shows, but they're losing subscriptions.
Yeah, and a lot of that is because of the 10,000 fucking other subscription services. And
that pedophile show.
And they're all going to be coming and dying, and it's going to go for it forever. And Microsoft seems to be throwing a lot of money in Game Pass. And man, I'm not sure that they're going to recoup this ever. This is kind of, it's like, man, you guys are throwing a lot of money. I'm pretty sure that some devs are going to get burnt because some games are not going to sell because of this. And I'm not sure that the money they're getting from Game Pass, either from play or either from the contract, is going to be enough at some point. So I don't know.
I would not want to work for the great Satan, Microsoft.
That too.
It's just no way it could work out for you unless you're equally rich and malicious.
But anyways, the conference was a disaster. Microsoft can purchase all the dev they want, but they can't purchase a good industry. And
right.
And this conference was just the proof of this. So, all right, so let's go with the game. Redfall, Left 4 Dead, but with vampires or something. To be honest, that wasn't clear, and that's bad. And the problem, this had fucking Marvel writing. Fuck this.
I mean, characters making allegedly witty quips as they gun down monsters.
Yeah, this was really annoying.
Oh, when I'm looking at your notes, I thought it said Redwall at first. You know, that fantasy series with the mouse people.
I fucking hated that cartoon as a kid. But yeah, anyways, let's move on. After that, there was High on Life. It's another game by the Rick and Morty people. It looks okay.
I do not know what people see in him.
Honestly, I'd rather have this guy than fucking Marvel writing.
Yeah, it's slightly less worse.
And on top of that, it's kind of like a cartoony games, and cartoony games like this are absolutely fucking rare. So, complaining about Game Pass, Riot Games games as like all heroes and shit unlocked on Game Pass. How much money did fucking Microsoft throw on this? This is crazy. Let's just say Riot Games. They're the guys who own League, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they made League of Legends and some other derivative games and that TV show Arcane.
But yeah, basically, if you play the Riot Games on Game Pass, you got all heroes unlocked.
Is this supposed to get people to plug their nose and play an Xbox console?
Maybe, but I'm saying, like, this has to be an insane amount of fucking money they threw on this.
Yeah, because Riot Games is already super rich, so they must have demanded quite a lot of money from Microsoft.
Microsoft is never getting that money back, but anyways. So the yearly big segment on fucking Forza Motorsport. Fuck Video Game Corner. This is like this is exactly like the sports presentation and the EA conferences. You know, this year we have a new engine with better player sweat, etc. And this is, who the fuck cares, man?
Yeah, it's usually lies anyway. Like, sometimes for their yearly updates, they would just copy and paste 90% of their assets.
Yeah, basically, I wrote that they could have put the same presentation about Forza that they did 5 years ago, and I wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, if I play a racing game, it's going to be like F-Zero or Mario Kart. Yeah, I like the cartoony ones more than the realistic ones.
Yeah, give me that or something like arcade-like rather than some realistic bullshit.
Yeah, you ever play that arcade racing shoot 'em up called Lucky and Wild?
No.
Oh, it's an arcade game. It has a steering wheel and two guns. So you can have two or three players if you want. Like, one player is supposed to drive it and shoot a gun. This player two is supposed to shoot a gun. But when you and your friends are going to the arcade, you can sit however you want. So you could have one guy just drive and the other guy shoot two guns.
Oh, it looks cool. This reminds me a bit of Wild Guns, but on car.
Yeah.
Put
a video for this in the show notes.
Is it also Konami? Or wait, it's Lucky and Wild. Fuck, it's not Konami, man. Namco. Yeah, Namco. Because even the font looks like... wait, Wild Guns. Who made Wild Guns? Natsume? Who made Lucky and Wild? Namco? Yeah, I don't know then. Because the logo of Lucky and Wild look exactly like Wild Gun.
Not important. It's just a lot of these games remind me of old games.
Well, I mean, we've had like 50 years of industry by now, so.
Right. Yeah. Forza Motorsports, I don't really care. You don't care. Let's move on.
Yeah, the most interesting thing about it was the Hot Wheels track DLC.
Oh, does that have you like driving on a wooden floor in a kitchen or something?
No, it was mostly like loop the loop and the air, and then going fast and you know, rolling on some kind of track in the air that's like at a 90 degree angle and shit like this.
I want the cartoony stuff in my racing games.
Exactly. That's why this was more interesting. But anyways, moving on. After this, we got a fucking Microsoft Flight Simulator segment. Nobody cares. We got a Halo Microsoft Flight Simulator DLC. I don't fucking know.
Oh, so you can pilot the sci-fi ships and dune buggies and stuff from the Halo games?
No idea. They show nothing of it. They just teased it.
Oh. Yeah, that's pretty lame.
After this, we got another look at other Overwatch 2. It looks as pointless as ever. Give me a Team Fortress 3.
Yeah, you know, Valve can't count to 3.
So after that, we got another look at Korn. We'll talk about this one later.
Oh, yeah, that's a first-person shooter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Later.
Later. All right, so they revealed Minecraft Legend. Minecraft Dungeon looked okay, but this looks like dog shit. There's already plenty of cool mods and the normal Minecraft that gives you such single player campaign in the original game. So it's completely fucking pointless. Fuck this shit.
Yeah, it doesn't interest me. I was too old to get into Minecraft. I played with Legos instead.
Now something interesting. Pentiment. So Obsidian Entertainment, with all of their veteran game makers, are making an indie game. And fucking finally. Because it's so frustrating having like veteran game makers being stuck making constantly fucking save shit. Them actually making cool indie games is what I've always wanted.
Yeah, what the hell is this?
I have no fucking idea. But this is something.
Yeah, it's like those fake medieval cartoons from the Monty Python movies come to life.
Yeah, this kind of looks cool. I have no idea what the hell the gameplay is like. But hey, it's something. It's something. It's weird. And I kind of like this.
Yeah, it's different.
It's a narrative adventure, so it's probably an adventure game.
I won't hold that against it, because it looks cool.
Adventure games are kind of cool, honestly. It's just the problem is that the old-timey adventure games are absolutely ridiculous and has plenty of stuff where you can get stuck and the game never tells you.
Yeah, before the internet, that was a pain in the ass.
God, no kidding.
I'm showing my age again. All right, next on your list is Grounded.
Yeah, Grounded is some sort of multiplayer FPS about some kids being small and going into a war against like bugs. It actually somewhat looks interesting. I believe they actually talked about some single player story modes. So I'm like, maybe. However, the thing I wanted to talk about this is that in this conference, and maybe the others after, they've shown a lot of multiplayer game, and they're like all joined 10 million players. I'm like, 10 million players? I've never heard anyone talk about these.
Yeah, is that going to be 9.99 million bots with a couple of humans thrown in?
It's probably like 10 million registered account that downloaded it or some shit. Yeah. But I don't know. This is weird. This is a weird hearing, like join 10 million players and like, bro, I've never seen anyone talk about this. I forgot this existed.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
But anyways, next, there's something called Ereban Shadow Legacy. What was this already? I think this looked like some kind of stealth action game where you have a character that can blend into some shadows. This looks kind of cool.
Yeah, and it looks like the enemies are these giant mecha. It's different from the usual stealth game.
Yeah, it looks pretty nice. After this, there was Diablo 4. It's open world. Ugh. And I'm like, does this even work with this kind of game?
I doubt it. Not that I'm going to give Blizzard any money.
Plus, Diablo Immortal apparently pissed a lot of people with how aggressive it is with like microtransaction. Fuck this. The series dead. After this, they've shown Sea of Thieves Season 7. Does anyone even play this?
I've never played it.
Everyone in the chat said that they've tried this and it was boring. So, moving on. Ravenlock. I just written this looks cool. Let me just check what it is already.
Yeah, no relation to Ravenloft, the D&D campaign.
So, this looks like a world made of voxel. However, your character isn't.
Yeah, this is in the kid gets transported to weird fantasy world genre.
Yeah, but there's actually combat. The world looks kind of cool.
Yeah, this might be good.
Yeah, this looks decent. I have to look more into it.
Yeah, I dig the art style. I'll add this to my list.
So, also I wrote that Cocoon looks very fun. Man, I didn't write detail, but it looks like some sort of space puzzle platformer. Not much about this, but you have to check the trailers.
Yeah, it looks kind of like Journey.
So, after this, they announced Persona 3, 4, and 5 for Xbox. Apparently, the Switch versions have been leaked too.
Oh, is it the updated versions of 3 yes. and 4 where you can actually control your party?
Yeah, I believe yes.
Okay, good. Because those games are unplayable if you have to rely on the AI to control half your party.
Yeah, I know. And 5 was Royal too.
Yeah, that's good. Good that it's being ported to more systems.
So after this, Kojima shows up and he announces nothing. He's working on a game, that's it.
Yeah, just to say hi.
Yeah, pretty much.
See, they paid for my plane ticket, so why not?
So, Bethesda finally shows up and they finally show Starfield. And what is it? Drumroll? It's Fallout in space. The hype died immediately. Like, it looked rough as fuck, and it just fell out in space.
Yeah, it didn't the Outer Worlds already do that?
Yes, and also they're promising like thousands of planets, but like, yeah, this is gonna suck for a narrative RPG, isn't it? Just play fucking No Man's Sky or something. I don't know. But
1 million troops. Wow.
I feel like they're kind of... I feel like that AAA games are reaching a fucking limit. And they're not impressive. The more the games goes on, the more they have to be as safe as possible. And now, like... Even people that play AAA games are kind of like increasingly not impressed with them.
Yeah, it's just the cost to make them is so astronomical that when they make a AAA game, it has to be this most generic, by the book, paint in the numbers bullshit.
Exactly. And I say, I think they're reaching a limit. Starfield, I remember there was a lot of fucking hype, and I've seen the hype die in real time. I don't need to see this already, but who won this E3? It's indie games, obviously.
Yep.
And that's it for Microsoft. There were rumors of GoldenEye 64, and Banjo's Kazooie's return, and that did not happen.
Oh, that sucks, because GoldenEye 64 has never been ported to anything.
Yeah, and that's because of license and Nintendo and extra.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's it for Microsoft. Also, by the way, I completely forgotten the note, but Devolver Digital at their usual conference. Their conference, as usual, was some cool nonsense. and every games in it was actually pretty good. I did not write notes about it because I completely fucking forgot, but it's worth watching, even
Okay.
if they only add like four games or so. But anyways, we're not done yet. After this, there was the PC gaming show. The last time, last year, this was the better show. Oof, not this year. The presenter were always cringe, but it just kind of hurt this year more than the others.
So what do we have here?
And they still had a lot of cool games. However, it starts with Solstice. Yes,
yeah, I get the pun.
Yeah, it's a Souls game. It looks anime-ish, but there was like no fucking gameplay, so I can't fucking tell you. Let me see if I can like get gameplay or something quick.
Yeah, I'm seeing a trailer from last year. It's only little bits of gameplay mixed with pre-rendered footage of female guts cutting through monsters.
Yeah, actually, this looks like way more action-oriented than Dark Souls. So maybe I'm a bit mistaken, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, might be more like Code Vein or one of the other. Dark Souls clones.
Yeah, probably actually.
More action.
But anyways, this actually kind of looks cool. This looks not bad. All right, moving on. There's a Tactical Breach Wizard. I recall a game like this, but I don't remember. Like it was a tactical game where you could like rewind and shit like this.
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you mean, but I can't remember the name.
Yeah, it was made like by a famous old indie dev too, but yeah, that game, it Tactical Breach Wizard looks a bit like this, but you're kind of playing as a SWAT team that's wizard, so you get weird wizard power. It actually kind of looks cool. After this,
yeah, variation of the XCOM kind of games.
Yeah, but it's not like a turn-based RPG. It's more like a really, really like a turn. It's like a real-time SWAT thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Steam page. It has a little bit more info. Sorry, I interrupted you. You were saying?
Oh, no, I was saying my... But yeah, this is kind of like... It looks more like something like slightly real time. You can rewind the situation exactly like the game I'm talking about that I don't know the fucking name, but whatever. So all right, so moving on, there's the Invincible. It was a weird space weird planet blah 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 narrative. It was really boring. It was a narrative game. They've shown nothing of it. It was boring.
Oh, so it wants to be the Outer Wilds?
I have not played that.
Oh, that's also a weird space exploration game with a unique narrative to it.
This wasn't even like exploration. This seemed like just simply narrative. Or at least that's what it seemed like. So it did not show anything else, so I don't know what to expect of it. Anyways, moving on to an actually cool multiplayer game, Deceive Inc., a spy multiplayer FPS with a 60s look and a bit of prop hunt mixed in. Do you know what prop hunt is?
Prop hunt? No, I don't.
Yeah. All right, so I've played a bit of that on TF2. Imagine a map with, I think, randomly generated a prop item, like a random boxes, orange cone, etc. When you're a prop, you're a random prop, and the point is to hide somewhere and survive. Where I'm going with this is that the spy multiplayer game has kind of weird, cool James Bond and 60s spy a gadget, and you can also kind of hide yourself as a plant or whatever.
Okay, so is it like hide and seek or more like the Hitman games where you have to sneak into somewhere?
I don't know. it seems more like playing just playing the spy and TF2.
Well, but that's your favorite more class, time. Then. This game is for you.
Yeah, I suppose. After this, they've shown another game. We're not exactly sure what's going to be. The Alters. Someone in the chat wrote, it's basically Poland, the game. You might understand if you see the trailer. It's some game about working with clones and some kind of like walking space station. And the trailer, basically, everyone was the same dude, but they were all dressed like in different style. It was weird. The trailer was interesting, I suppose, but there's not much to say about it because we have no idea what the gameplay is like.
Oh, I saw a movie with a similar premise, but it would be a spoiler if I revealed it because it seems like something else entirely when you first watch it. But I'll tell you later.
All right, so next there's a game called Decarnation. This kind of looks like another RPG Maker game, but not an RPG Maker. It kind of looks cool. I just wish the character sprites didn't look so shit. But the logo art, like the poster for it, is really fucking cool.
Yeah, this looks like Fear and Hunger.
Yeah, but this doesn't seem like an RPG or something.
No, it's not designed to make you suffer.
I don't think so. So I'm not sure if the Fear and Hunger comparison is good, because
it is a cool poster, though. That's some Junji Ito shit.
Yeah, I really love the poster. But yeah, I don't know if there's actually gameplay, or it's, like I said, it seems more like it's some sort of horror RPG Maker game. If you don't know these games, they're like mostly walking simulator. And kind of shit happens, so you have to run and mini games and stuff and like slight puzzle, but it looks like it could be decent.
Yeah, this looks cool, and I'll add this one to my list.
So there was a game called I Am Future. I somewhat dug the trailer, but no fucking gameplay, so let's just move on. They've shown the System Shock remake again. The demo has been out for fucking ages. I've seen, I think, Decker play one of the demo, or was it Trio Dog? I don't fucking remember.
System Shock 1 and 2, they're good games that really need remakes. I just don't have any faith in any existing company to make a remake in the current year, you know?
Well, actually, the creator is involved, so...
All right, that's a good sign.
And from what... I have not played the original, but I have seen what the remake looks like, and I kind of dig how it looks. But anyways, moving on. Welcome to Nivalis, a cool-looking cyberpunk game, but no gameplay, so nothing to say about it. Let's move on to Demon's Cool. Been told this actually looks similar to Persona 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah, it does. I was going to say, the menus, the art style, even the way the characters stand while they're in combat looks really similar to Persona 1.
Yeah, it looks really fucking awesome. Like, it looks...
Yeah, really, this looks really good.
It looks like really a full game that could have been made in that era.
Man, I thought this episode was going to be shit. Just me and you laughing at dumb shit you saw, but I'm writing down a lot of recommendations.
No, there was actually a cool game shown this E3, but yeah. I don't know, it's all indie. I mean, I don't want to shit on indie, but it's just that, fucking hell, man.
Yeah, well, a lot of indie games are just walking simulators about lesbians or depression.
Not anymore, but it just that, I don't know. When you look at a conference, you want to know stuff from like Capcom, Square, etc. Not indie game. I mean, indie games stole E3 in a way, and that's because the rest of the industry are currently in this fucking shameful state.
Yeah, indie games have problems, but they're not limited by the same bullshit that the big budget games are. The indie games are where I put most of my faith nowadays.
Exactly. All right.
So yeah, Demon School looks good.
Looks awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. And now we can finally talk about Scorn. Why here? Because this actually an extended trailer where they actually explain the game. So, all right. So it's a game that is made entirely in H.R. Giger's art style. So this looks fucking amazing. And not only this, but this trailer bring a lot of good news. It says that they're shooting, but it's not a shooter. So you have to carefully consider every encounters.
Sounds like a true horror game then.
Exactly.
The monsters you encounter are actually terrifying.
And
this looks cool.
It's also kind of a puzzler, and it looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, this is like extreme imitations of H.R. Giger. It's a real tribute to his art style.
God, it's almost like he directed this or something.
Yeah, from Beyond the Grave, which would fit H.R. Giger pretty well.
So, you were sad that GoldenEye 64 was not announced. Well, yeah. I have good news for you, because Agent 64 Spies Never Die was announced instead.
Yeah, and it looks extremely similar.
This is basically not GoldenEye 64, and that's actually kind of amazing. Because it literally looks like it could be on the 64.
It looks like shit.
The music is basically not... Well, I wouldn't say it looks like shit. It basically looks an idealized version of a 64 game.
Yeah, it looks really blocky, but like, not bad.
It has 64 graphics without any of the downside, like the fog and shit. So it looks great. It looks like it plays exactly like GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. Even the music and sound, it's not GoldenEye. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad this thing exists. I'll have to check this out too.
So right after this, there is the New Blood segment. The dude was actually funny. And New Blood, actually, they're a developer / publisher of really cool boomer shooters. And I just recommend you to watch that segment. It's like 5 minutes long, so don't do it right now, but just watch it.
It's a 3-hour video, but it's in there somewhere.
All right, so after this, they show some Core Keeper update. I've never heard of this, but it looks cool. And then it finishes with a really boring presentation of the Half-Life Alyx mod. What are we to end the conference? But so, anyway.
Ended it with just another rehash of a game that already exists and was nothing but a tech demo in the first place.
Yeah, it just that it was really fucking boring the way they presented this. But anyways, let's move on to more interesting thing.
All right, so
the Capcom showcase.
Yeah, I noticed they changed the logo to Street Fighter 6 because everyone was laughing at them.
Exactly. So they've shown a bit of Street Fighter 6. They show a bit of Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak. There's a demo. And then they show up a new game I haven't heard about before, Exoprimal. It's basically people in exo suits versus freaking like a massive horde of dinosaurs. It looks awesome. It's a multiplayer game. After this, they present the Dragon Dogma's 10th anniversary. Not much about it, but then they actually announce Dragon's Dogma 2 later in its own presentation. So there's this. And then Capcom goes crazy about Resident Evil. So they announce Resident Evil Village DLC, Shadows of Rose, The Mercenaries Additional Order, third-person mode, all of this and some Season Pass Gold Edition, and then they announce Resident Evil Reverse, which I should check what the fuck this is. I have no idea what the hell this was. And then they show the Resident Evil 4 remake again, and now the Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3 remake are available on the latest, on PS5 and the latest Xbox with a free upgrade if you own it on 1 or PS4. And yes, Capcom just went and announced like 10 fucking Resident Evil in one conference.
Oh, at least a new Dragon's Dogma sounds interesting. That was a pretty good game.
I still need to play it.
It's like on my list. Yeah, it's like a mixer of Dark Souls and Shadow of the Colossus.
I've heard it's a bit more like Devil May Cry and a medieval game.
Yeah, there's a lot of advanced combat maneuvers you can do, so that's a good comparison. And this Exoprimal might be good, but it might just be like a Monster Hunter clone.
No, it's actually gone, and it's you versus like a massive horde of dinosaurs. From what they explained, it's not like versus, but it's your team versus another team, and some kind of game where you have to accomplish small missions. Like, find this dinosaur, exterminate as much as this dinosaur possible, or beat that boss, etc.
Oh, like Ark Survived, Survival Evolved, or whatever game was called.
I have not played Ark, but as far as I'm aware, isn't Ark some kind of fucking like base building game, open world exploration, whatever the fuck?
I don't know. I haven't played it either.
Yeah.
Seen others play it.
Let's just move on to the Final Fantasy VII 25th anniversary celebration, which I'm actually pretty pissed because the Summer Game Fest, they actually aired it, but it was not in their schedule. So I don't know what the fuck's up with that, but all right. So they announced FF7 Remake Integrate. Yes, the PS5 additional content, I believe, on Steam June 17, which was 3 days ago, so it should be out.
Yeah, I still haven't played FF7 Remake because my computer can't handle it, but I'll give it a shot once I'm able to.
Actually, I'm curious. Can I run it? Let me get... Oh, yeah. I can't run it at the recommended setting, but I'm definitely just below this.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a new generation of video cards to come out.
Yeah, but there's not much to say about this conference except one thing. The FF7 Remake Integrate, they just announced that it's work on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, that's good news.
It's not just good news. It's crazy. Because just think about it. None of these devs talk about the Steam Deck. Probably because their games are not over yet. But fucking Square Enix and a Japanese conference talked about the Steam Deck.
Is it even being released in Asian countries?
Not yet. Not yet. That's kind of why this is crazy. And consider that the Steam Deck works on Linux. They run games on Proton. That means that either Square ported the game to Linux, probably not. That could mean that Square has built the game in a way to make it work on Proton. I don't think so. I think they just tested if it works, and it works. Maybe they have reached Valve to be sure, to get some help on making it work, because it's actually possible. I mean, when Death Stranding released, it took them like a week to make it work on Proton. So there's that. They just had to modify Proton, not the game. But for a fucking Japanese conference that historically Japan is not too interested in PC gaming, and a lot of the PC games, like in the past, they started releasing them in the West, but for them to actually have mentioned the Steam Deck, I don't know, man, it's just not.
Yeah, I'm looking over your list. It shows a bunch of other FF7 bullshit that I don't care about, because that game should have ended after one game.
Well, it was the FF7 25th anniversary celebration. They announced some fucking play arts figurine, and another accessories. They talk about FF7, the first soldier. Apparently, it's out. Fuck this shit. They talk about FF7 Ever Crisis, some fucking mobile game, and a closed beta. It's going to be fucking gacha, isn't it? And then they announce FF7 Crisis Core Reunion, a remake of the PSP game port or whatever the fuck. It's also coming to Switch. And it's not been stated to be like a cloud game on Switch, apparently. And they just announced FF7 Remake Part 2 next winter. Oh, holy fucking mill game.
Yeah, aren't people sick of this game yet? This fictional world? There's been way, way too much shit in it. Like, I still like the original game. It still holds up. I can go back and play it and have a great time. It has a lot of fascinating things with its like character designs, the materia system, the way the story is written. There's a lot of things to like about it, but it did not need sequels.
Well, here's the thing, is that Square, like everyone else, are suffering the AAA thing. They're making games that are basically flavor of the week. Let's just say, like, Final Fantasy 13 was a fucking disaster. Who talks about Final Fantasy 13? Nobody. So
the dumbass in charge of it who keeps pushing his Mary Sue lightning onto people.
But yeah,
pretends anyone else gives a shit about her. That's guy.
That's exactly the problem. They spend this amount of money on the fucking FF13 universe, and barely anyone is still going to talk about it in 10 years. However, Final Fantasy VII, which is a timeless classic, they can just milk it forever. You know what's going on? They have to milk their old shit because they can't make new shit. And this is why AAA is fucking cancer. Because they can't just accept a failure. Because a failure is going to wait on them for a fucking long time. So then they come and then they raid the corpse of an actual fucking good game.
Yeah, Squaresoft died once Sakaguchi left in the early 2000s.
Oh, absolutely. So far, still no word from Nintendo. I am somewhat pissed because they can either save this E3, and even if they have nothing to show, just like the game we already know that are releasing in the next year, they will still have a better presentation than most. So I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe that's why they're not having a presentation, because we know of most of the game they're releasing. However, I will forgive them if they actually show up this September. What I mean by this September is the Tokyo Game Show. Like I said, have you noticed that there was very little Japanese game in this E3?
Yeah, this is an anime podcast, but I was hoping to cover some Japanese games here. Were very few.
Here's the thing. This is all E3. I feel like E3 in general has never respected Japanese games. And I feel like the Japanese game industry should have their own E3 to announce stuff and, you know, to actually get attention.
Are they still locked up because of COVID?
I don't know, but the thing is, usually the Tokyo Game Show fucking sucks. They announce at most Gundam games, and most of them used to not come here. So even if they end up just coming together at the Tokyo Game Show, I'm pretty sure that they'll fuck shit up. But yeah. Anyway.
I got some good games from this list to keep an eye on.
There's still two games to talk about.
We're at the end of your list, though. What else do you got?
The Atari game.
That's right.
All right, so I added these because they were they were announced at the same time as everything else. So I was like, you know, why not? So there's a game called Atari Mania, which is actually fucking interesting because it's kind of a meta game about Atari game. They have remade Atari game and some sort of micro game that's going to show up in a meta puzzle game, and you can unlock old Atari material and old Atari game, which is actually more interesting than fucking Atari collections. Like this is an actual good use of Atari properties. You use them as a meta game.
Yeah, make a WarioWare kind of thing out of them. Yeah, I'm looking at this. Yeah, a lot of old Atari games, especially the 2600, they're so basic, so primitive by today's standards. Like, there's very little on that console worth looking into.
Yeah, that's the thing. I could not understand how these companies were attempting to just release the same shit over and over, just like Atari collection forever. And it's like, are you kidding, man? I remember that, for the Intellico, was this the name?
Intellivision?
No, I mean the new one.
Oh.
The Intellivision SVC or whatever the fuck, they actually talked about downloadable Intellivision game. I'm like, fucking hell, are you kidding me, bro? You include this kind of shit for free, not like for paying or whatever. And then I remember there was like another company that wanted to stream Intellivision game, and I was like, are you fucking out of your mind? These games are 500 bytes. Bytes!
Yeah.
You want to stream games of 500 darn bytes? This is so fucking dumb. This is so fucking wasteful. And it's like, aren't you guys just overvaluing these properties? However, Atari Mania actually using like all Atari games, remaking them, and then making like meta game, meta mini game. That's actually cool. That's actually a good use of this shit.
Yeah, it's something interesting you can do with these ancient dinosaur games. It's just mix them up with each other, mix them with ideas from newer games. You can do interesting things. There's a game I played in like 2008 called ROM Check Fail.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a short indie game, but the thing about it is it would take the gameplay and the visuals and the music from different 80s arcade games, and every couple of seconds it would mash them up into something else. So you could be like Mario jumping on the asteroids from Asteroids.
Oh, that's cool.
And then in a few seconds you'll turn into like Pac-Man eating the Goombas from Mario, or the spaceship from Defender going around and shooting shit. I'll put a link to it in the show notes if I can find a copy of it. But it's a cool idea, and I'm glad to see more of it.
All right, so last the game I'm going to talk about today, it's that we just got the announcement that Garage Bad Dream Adventure is actually releasing on Steam. And it's going to be uncensored.
So what's this game about?
God, it's some really old point-and-click game. And it's a really old obscure Japanese game. All right, so let me get the Wikipedia article of this.
Okay, yeah, I have it pulled up.
So yeah, what's interesting is that 4chan VR board is actually mentioned. So what happened is that it's one of those games that that got fucked with a really, really small production run because Toshiba Amy withdrew from CD-ROM publishing. So apparently this game was limited to 3,000 copies. So it was kind of a lost game because it will appear very rarely on online sites where you could purchase it from, and apparently copies were like $3,000 for a game that you won't be able to understand. So understandably, this was kind of out of reach for most people. What happened is that people from 4chan's VR, they just pulled money together and actually purchased the darn game and deleted it on the internet, and then bizarrely And then just a year ago, the game mysteriously dropped on iOS and Android, completely translated.
Yeah, that's freaking strange, man. Because this is a weird-ass adventure game that only appealed to Japanese people or extreme weeaboos.
And now it's finally releasing on Steam, completely uncensored. So that's really awesome news. This game was made, what was the year? 1999. Like, I'm not sure if you're seeing the game and seeing something about it, but 1999, this year for me, you know, around 2000, I remember when I was a kid in elementary school, we finally got an updated computer lab, because before this we only had Apple II computers, the color same here. Ones.
Well, I had the black and green ones.
And now it updated to those colorful Macintosh. You remember the colorful Macintosh?
Yeah.
So yeah, around this time, this was the time of cool of games with cool CG, the interactive CD-ROM era.
Yeah, because Myst came out in 94, I think, and that was a gigantic success that introduced a new era of adventure games.
Yeah, and this game is basically looks perfectly like the era. Some weird CG, and the look, feel, and sound of it, it absolutely feel like a 99-2000 interactive CD-ROM game.
Yeah, this is like a time capsule.
And man, this game looks fucking weird and awesome, and I'm glad it's finally releasing on Steam.
Yeah, it's cool to see old, lost, or almost lost media get found again and made available for the public. Because I'll probably never play this game, but it just looks so freaking weird.
God, it looks rad as fuck. But yeah, nothing else to say. We're done.
Yeah, this is like a Tool music video come to life. All right, yeah, that's all of your list.
Yeah, that was a whole fucking episode.
Yeah, you put a lot of work into this. I just read your comments and said, yeah, no, okay. So thank you for doing all the hard work.
Yeah.
This has been a good time.
I watched this so you don't have to.
Well, some of these games look interesting, but it seems like for this conference or series of conferences, there was a lot of stupid shit to wade through.
Lord, as I said, this was just the worst year for E3. Indie games won again. I got to see some cool games, but man, this is disappointing. I'm really hoping that Nintendo fucking shows up soon or something. I don't know where, like I will excuse them if they show up in some kind of Japanese E3 in September for the Tokyo Game Show, but I don't know, this is just lame so far.
Yeah, they might have something big planned, or they might show up wearing masks and say, sorry, COVID's still big problem.
Or they might show up like in a week. I don't fucking know. But man, just show me like a good fucking conference. Because Nintendo just could come right now and fucking wreck this shit. Because this is just a pathetic showing from everyone.
Yeah, some good games. But thanks for cutting through all the bullshit for both me and our listeners. This has been a good time.
Yeah, so I hope people have been enjoying hearing me complain about it. So did you have anything else to talk about, or are we exhausted enough for the moment?
Yeah, I've been reading some manga, but I want Full Metal to be here when I talk about him. So we can save it for next time.
Sure. The new season is starting soon, but we're not going to have an episode about that until at least 2 to 3 weeks in, so
yeah, I'm gonna watch Bastard.
Yeah, there's also Isekai Ajisan.
Yeah, some good stuff going on.
Yeah, the next season looks actually fucking amazing. Do you want to skim it quickly?
Sure.
So anyshard.net. God, the next season is going to be crazy. We finally have the sequel of Aterakumarusama. We have Overlord. Oh,
the devil is a part-timer. Yeah.
Yes. Overlord season 4. A Classroom of the Elite season 2.
Made in Abyss. Hell yeah.
Season 2. We have to watch a movie before seeing this.
Oh, the dog girl porn isekai is getting an anime too. I forgot about that.
What?
Isekai make you de harem wo.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It has a lot of fantasy RPG tropes, but like the protagonist has this dog girl who's really freaking hot, who joins him in the dungeon to kill monsters.
Some people are not hot on the art style change, but I really fucking love Makoto Ino's art.
Yeah, she's just, the dog girl's a little bit chunkier than in the manga, but I'd still hit it.
Well, Makoto Ino loves drawing chunky girls, so yeah. We also have this anime, A Call of the Night, which I think won't be a short. It's by the Dagashi Geshi guy. You know, the candy girl?
Yeah.
We have... What's the English name of this? Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Season 4. We have Shadow's House Season 2.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff going on.
We have Tokyo Mew Mew Mew. After this, we have, what else do we have? We have Love Live Superstar Season 2. So our 6 months of Love Live continues. We also have, that's not all. That is not it at all.
Yeah, sequel to Kakegurui.
Yeah.
Dr. Stone special.
Yeah, Kakegurui Twins. It's by Netflix. We think it might be like a complete drop. So it's just going to drop and all the episodes might be there. Don't quote me on that, however.
Yeah, this is going to be a good season.
So, yeah, Bastard is also on that list. I wonder if they're going to... Okay, yeah, but Bastard, it says episode 1 of 24. That's going to be airing... However, Kakegurui Twin says airing on August 4. I think they're going to drop all of it.
Or maybe it's just one episode.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a series.
Oh, all right. I've already told Full Metal about it. He's excited.
I tagged him, so he knows.
Okay.
There's also the sequel of D4DJ. That is from a gacha game by the Bang Dreams people, and apparently people like the anime, so there it is. So yeah, there is a shitload of good shit next season. Oh yeah, there's also the prologue of the next Gundam, the one that that's going to have like a female protagonist.
The Gundam series is so gigantic, so freaking colossal. But, like I've seen like 5 shows from it, and that's nowhere near enough to get an understanding of it all.
Yeah, I might actually bother for this. I kind of like the official title, the Witch from Mercury. That sounds cool as shit.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool name.
But yeah, next season's gonna be awesome. So look forward to it in like about 3 weeks or so.
Yeah. All right. So it's a good episode. Thanks for doing all the hard work.
No problem.
All right. Come to the Fettyverse, yada yada.
See you later.
Good night.